So welcome to another very special Christmas episode of Ninja Consultant. Some of you might be wondering, like, exactly where the Black Lagoon episode is that we've been talking about for ages, and I made a deal with Noah that if he doesn't make any edits to it by the end of this year, then I will post the show without his final approval. So I have my mom here.
Hello.
And also my dad, but he's barely on mic. I don't think he's really committed to being on the show necessarily. Just
need to be committed.
Merry Christmas.
So lately I don't think we've done a podcast after I got the Anime News Network job, but I've taken over the shelf life column of animenewsnetwork.com, and they also have their own podcast, the ANN Cast, which now I've been listening to since I work for them, but it's kind of new also. And so it's a weekly column. Have you been reading this column?
I read a little bit when you had that big slam about what are you talking about with the 42 comments.
Oh, the child pornography thing?
No.
No, a different one.
A different one.
Okay.
Something that questioned your opinion, not your opinions, but that you shouldn't be giving opinions, and the counter comments were, but that's what this column is about.
Oh, there was like a meta thing that was like, reviews are essentially one reviewer's opinion or a consumer guide.
Yes, that's
and
it.
A lot of people were like, I don't think you're giving this fair criticism or whatever, but like someone else was very helpful in linking to some comic book criticism and saying like critics are different than reviewers, and this is a review column. It's not but criticism is used very broadly in English to mean different things, so there was some confusion and it was going back and forth in the forums a lot.
And the one guy who's mean to you, though, your other people took him to task.
You're talking about the comments on LiveJournal.
Yes. No. No, on Shelf Life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, sure. So you haven't read the column in weeks. No, but
yeah, pretty much.
Because of the column, I've had to watch lots more anime than I would normally do. Like, let's say 3 series or seasons a week, just whatever comes in the box. So it's kind of an intense amount of time, but since I'm otherwise underemployed, I kind of need the money. So it's not so bad, though, to get, you know, a giant box of anime shipped to your apartment all the time.
So you get paid your weight in anime.
Right. I'm like, I don't think it weighs that much. Take a little while, but I think I'll eventually reach that point. Because I have to stay on this schedule, and I'm not eligible for vacation time anywhere that I work, I am writing a column over Christmas. So I've been making my parents watch some stuff that I plan to review this week, including the new Evangelion movie, Evangelion 1.01, You Are Not Alone, which you can read my opinion in the column because I'm not supposed to duplicate that kind of review elsewhere. But you can hear my mom's review of the movie on this show, and she's not familiar with Evangelion at all.
And I'm sure that because your dad slept and snored through the first hour is not a commentary.
No.
I found it quite entertaining.
He was also, he seemed disappointed that he slept through the first half, and I think that speaks for the quality of the film.
Exactly.
He's nodding in agreement.
In sarcastic agreement. I've seen that nod.
Oh, no.
What?
Was it sarcastic agreement or regular agreement?
What's that? For what?
Nodding when I was like, you seemed disappointed.
Well, yeah, I was severely disappointed, yeah.
Now he's being sarcastic. What are your impressions of Evangelion as someone who's never seen it? This is a franchise that's really familiar with probably listeners to our podcast. Though not all of them have necessarily seen it, but they should. But it's been around for a long time, so most anime fans know about it.
Okay, unlike me.
Right.
Okay, and you guys were marginally helpful in explaining that there were somehow 13 angels involved.
Right.
And we were on number 3 when we started watching it, so I'm not sure what happened to the first 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like we were kind of coming into after a bunch of stuff had happened.
Right.
And there wasn't any sort of backstory provided in this segment. So I don't know if that'll happen in the other parts of the trilogy where you will see how we got to Tokyo 3.
Right. Like what happened to the first two
and
Tokyos.
What happened to the half of the Earth's inhabitants who died somewhere prior.
They explain more about the second impact later. Right.
Or how they managed to build big cities deep underground and do all that other stuff with half the world's population.
The good half.
The good, that's right. The smart half.
Right.
The smart half. It was pretty good. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
It seems like there's probably a lot of, like, if you looked at the text or looked at the printed version, that there might be a lot of symbolism there to work on, because there was the whole stuff with what's our guys? The Evas? Evas.
Yeah.
They shoot out, like, crosses as beams.
Right.
Well, and there's
more like when the angels explode, there's a cross that's left behind.
Yeah, exactly. And the little other slogans around, what's the outfit's name?
Nerve.
And they had little God-like sayings like every once in a while.
God's in his heaven and all's right with the world.
And then that creepy thing that was nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
With like half a body or something.
Yeah.
So it seems like heavily symbolic at some level.
The original series is known for, in the opening theme song, they introduce all the characters, they show all the characters and whatever, and it's a regular kind of theme song, except at the end, they suddenly flash through a bunch of kind of religious imagery, like they show the Jewish tree of life and a bunch of other crazy stuff. So the whole series is like laced with a bunch of religious symbols, which for anime, that's not unusual. I always like to give the counterexample of, there's one series that's like a detective series for girls, but the detective is Loki, and everyone in it is from Norse mythology.
My grandmother's cat was Loki.
Right, but it just takes
Siamese
place.
Siamese cat.
So they took all the Norse mythology characters, but it's just a detective story about a little boy detective in, like, England or something. It has nothing really to do with Norse mythology, but that's just the mythology they picked out to do something with the show. Or there's another fighting series, like we've been watching Dragon Ball Z. There's one called Saint Seiya, and they take a bunch of, like, Greek gods and have that mythology, and they're fighting for that golden fleece like Jason the Argonauts, and they have powers based on different things from Greek mythology, but it's like it's just another fighting show like this. So
yeah,
they're always just taking like, what mythology do we take this week and borrow all the names from, kind of. There's a there's an infamous series called Bastard where all of the people are named after bands, and all of the fighting moves are names of songs, stuff like heavy metal songs.
So that's much like early software development, where it was all named after some, like Shiva, some different gods of other civilizations were our early software names.
Right, and if you were naming a, you know, a bank of servers, you might pick a theme and then name them all the characters from this theme.
Yes, ours at school are Lord of the Rings.
Right, exactly. So
I don't think Mordred is really a good name for your major server.
No.
I think that's bad.
Exchange server.
Yeah.
But in terms of Evangelion, they borrow a lot of, you know, they keep saying stuff about the Dead Sea Scrolls and Lilith and stuff like that.
Okay.
Calling the monsters angels. So when American fans saw the show, people who weren't necessarily, didn't know much about anime, they took it all as deeply symbolic with an extreme, you know, meaning and a depth. Also, towards the end of the TV series, the creator of the show was very depressed, and much of the show is about his depression, his clinical depression.
Oh, I'm not laughing at that.
So there's a lot of like psychological stuff that comes out of the show as well.
Sure.
So a lot of people read a lot of symbology into it that might not be the creator's intent.
Like, so the cross stuff is just going on with the angel theme.
Yeah, it might just be
there's 13 archangels. They haven't used the term archangel. But they're talking archangels here, really.
Yeah, I guess so. In the TV show, they have the names of the angels, and they tell you what their names are.
Okay.
This one, I could look them up.
Because I didn't really realize there were angels of scorpions and geometric shapes.
Yeah.
And it seems like the whole design of the having that red, that one part that's really their vulnerable part.
Yeah.
Design error. And it seems like after one or two angels went down with that, you know, they might reconsider.
They might think of there's some
shielding or something.
They do have a shield. It's the AT field, and only the Evas can break
through. But
one guy
blew through that.
Yeah, but you can only break through if you're in an Eva.
Yeah. Okay. And Evas.
Yeah, the Eva units.
Evangelion. Yeah, but it's evangelical. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I mean, so it has another hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it comes back down to one giant monster thing fighting another giant monster thing.
Sure.
So I'm saying call out Godzilla because he can get it done.
Right.
And I think they're missing that.
I don't think you can really control Godzilla, though. Do you really trust...
You don't need it.
Do you trust future of the entire human race in the hands of Godzilla?
Over and over, yes. Exactly. Godzilla is the unwanted hero. The hero everybody loves to hate. Because he can come kick ass, right? And he's all well and good when he's saving Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
And then when they're done with him, he's bad again.
Is Godzilla usually a guy, or sometimes he's a girl, isn't it? Like in the American one, she's a girl. How come there's like a son of Godzilla? Yeah.
It's a reptile. They go back and forth. It's like frogs. Like
frogs. I'm going to save this file and make sure it's recording okay. But you were interested in the plot, kind of?
Yeah, I was real proud of myself to kind of guess early on. Well, that one little...
Should we mention we're having spoilers now in case you've never
spoilers.
Seen...
Oh, spoilers. Spoiler alert. That it seemed to be twins involved or brother-sister at least.
I really think they gave that away a lot more the film.
It was they're like, pretty obvious.
Yeah, where they have like the hospital scene and they're like, if it's a boy, call him Shinji, and if it's a girl, call him Ayanami. And in the... So obviously I had some really severe audio problems at that point, and about 12 minutes of the show between my two stopping the track and saving it things were like utterly unsalvageable. I don't know how to clean out that robot sound. It's really unfortunate, but oh well, it wasn't that great. I'm sure you won't miss it that much. I think we mostly talked about how when my mom was growing up, she and her father would watch TV and they would try and predict what the ending would be as quickly as they could, or like, you know, who the killer was in a primetime drama. And then it became like this contest. And then when I was growing up, my mom, one time when we were watching a new episode of The X-Files, before the opening credits even rolled, she was like, oh, it's that guy. That guy did everything. And I was like, ah, no, you spoiled it. Even as it aired, she like brand new. She already knew what the ending was. And we kind of, you know, discussed how that's possible. Oh, and one more thing. If you've ever had that kind of crazy problem with Audacity, it would be really useful for me if you tell me if you found out, like, what was causing it and how I could fix it. Because I've had that problem a couple times now with this mixer. Let me know.
Okay, so let's go with this thought that maybe that guy who's in the background that's the father...
Yeah.
Is actually
Gendo.
Gendo?
Yeah.
It's Gendo.
Gendo Ikari.
All right. So that he's somehow connected to both sides of the conflict that's going on.
Sure.
Are you just humoring me?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, I don't want to let you know if you're guessing correctly or incorrectly.
Why not?
What? Because I don't want to spoil the ending for like listeners completely who have never seen it and ignored my spoiler warnings and kept listening.
All right. All right. So the rest of it doesn't come out for a while, though, right?
The rest of the movie.
So I'll have to watch, dig out the one from
trilogy.
The 90s and watch it?
Yeah.
Or read the stuff?
It's not really, it's anime original, so it's not really based on manga. There is a manga, but it deviates from the anime.
Okay.
There are actually like three or four different manga series.
So do you consider the writers of it to be fairly responsible writers?
I'm like, an interesting question.
When they're writing, are they writing like from a 12-year-old, let's be crazy with the violence, or let's be crazy with the storyline, or are they thinking about mythologies, hero quest?
Yeah, I think they're thinking about those things, but a lot of Evangelion is a response to giant robot anime from the 70s, like a lot of things I haven't really watched, so it's inverting a genre form that was around where there's always a kid, and it's always his uncle who built this giant robot, or his uncle or his dad, mm-hmm. and he has to pilot it, but normally, like, you know, the kid is more gung-ho about it, where Shinji's like, I don't want to do this. I have a bad relationship with my dad. So, like, they're turning a lot of things on their heads, where it's like, usually it really is a machine, but we know the Evas aren't exactly machines. So there's really weird stuff going on. Or, like, usually the people, you know, behind the organization building these robots, it's going to be good guys, or in the case of, like, Gundam, there'll be, like, maybe a civil war, so they're good guys and bad guys, or shades of gray.
Well, it's not completely clear to me that the angels aren't bad guys,
right? Because
they could be bad guys or good guys.
They're mostly after Nerve, you know.
Yeah, they're after that,
attacking the base.
It's as if their creator were the brother of the Nerve guy, and it was yet again some weird Shakespearean Hamlet crazy royalty fighting each other thing.
Well, my friends like to say in a really good drama, you have a 40% death rate. That is to say, at the end of the drama, 40% of the characters are dead. Because in Hamlet, 40% of the characters are dead at the end.
So that's the measurement, huh?
In Evangelion, it's more like 98% of the characters are dead.
Oh, no. Okay. So the girl who's the clone?
Yeah.
her mother is actually ran off with a guy's brother, and they're on the angel side.
No, don't worry. Okay. Look, it wraps up with lunch. All right. Lunch, and it's on the moon.
Reading too much into it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
But still, same thing. Giant humanoid. So why are the Evas all the humanoid forms? I mean, that's not necessarily a good fighting form when they're fighting rectangles and
I'm not even
spheres.
Sure I know the answer to that. I know they're just, they're up to something crazy. Good old nerve. Building crazy monsters in their basement.
And they could just call for Godzilla.
Right.
It would be so much easier.
Yes. So we were also watching Dragon Ball Z, which I tried to explain at length.
But that other one is funnier.
The other one? Yeah. I forget the name of it. It's like...
The crazy girl.
Hanato something. I don't want to open my browser because I don't have the most memory left here.
The Brunsworth family? Burnsworth?
Brunswick. I wrote it down.
Yep.
Over here. So,
That was good.
It's Hana something something Seikoku.
If she says, "I think you're the reincarnated form of my dead leopard pet one more time."
Right.
Oh, my God.
Burnsworth.
She's crazy.
The Burnsworth group. It's about a girl who, I was watching the streams. It's about a girl who is the daughter of a really rich family, and she was almost kidnapped when she was a kid, and her mother died saving her from the kidnapping. My dad laughs because almost kidnapped. You are either kidnapped or you're not kidnapped.
And he makes a good point.
Kidnapped, and her mother dies saving her from the kidnappies, and her father's like, "I'm going to send you to my island that I own on the Caribbean to be raised." And then, so she is until she's 14, and she goes back to high school in Japan for only one episode.
And there's so many leopards in the Caribbean.
Snow leopards, even.
Snow leopards. That's her pet.
Her best friend growing up is a snow leopard named Mustafa that she becomes super obsessed with. When she comes back to Japan, after only one day in school, she ends up called back to New York, where her dad's like, "Tell you what, there's something that's going on with the company, but forget about that. I'm going to send you on this game where you have to meet
Bachelorette.
Yeah, like a TV
reality show.
Where you're going to meet three guys whom I have chosen to be your fiancés, and you have to choose one, and they have to choose you, but I'm not going to tell you who they are.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to find them." She's like, "How will I know?" He's like, "You'll know." She's like, "I'll take your game."
Yeah.
That sounds like a good time, although I'm 14.
Yeah, and that's the other sick part.
She's 14.
And then all the other rich oil families are throwing guys in there.
Right. So she has like one bodyguard who's like some hot dude.
Who you know that's going to be the guy.
That's one of like the three guys. Like, even though they don't say, it's like so obvious. And then there's dudes in the opening credits. And I kind of joked with Grace. I was like, "Oh, is that guy with the white hair? I bet he's like a reincarnation of her pet tiger."
You guessed that?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
And so, but I was just joking, and it happened like 2 minutes
later.
That's
how it happens.
Yeah, she sees this guy with all this white hair, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, it's Mustafa." And you think it's just going to be a one-time thing?
It's on and on.
We only watched four episodes, and not a minute went by where she doesn't mention how she thinks the soul of her dead pet tiger.
Yes, even when he said, "For the love of God, I'm not your dead pet tiger."
He's like, "That's really ridiculous." Also, it's not really how reincarnation works, but on the crazy island she was raised on, her nanny told her some whacked out religion.
Yep. I think that's what it boils down to.
It went on like the most melodramatic soap opera you've ever seen.
Oh yeah, the music really did it, because if you close your eyes you'd go, "What? Young and the Restless? Perhaps General Hospital? What is that music from?" So it's too bad they had that kind of music. I mean, it'd be maybe a pretty decent story without
the manga is probably better, because there are a lot of things you can't buy on television, and also there are a lot of very static shots where characters are standing around talking. If you're reading it in a comic, then it's going to move a lot
faster. Did I tell you about our manga that I bought at the airport?
What was it?
Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Oh, you
in manga
it to
form.
Last time you visited.
That was pretty cool.
How was it? It looked like a business book. Just put with
it was
some
a business
pictures.
Book. Yeah,
there's too much text.
Well, there's a text version entirely, but the manga was great.
So is it manga?
I just want to say,
so
begins the end of manga. Because when it hits the mainstream...
In America?
Psycho, business, babble stuff, there you go.
Well, no,
that's good points. I don't want to undermine it. It was making good points. Yeah. But it was interesting they chose that genre. To kind of try and get their message across. So.
It's like that's what's popular. I went to a really interesting lecture at one comic convention where this guy gave this whole history of the classics adapted into comic form, and he went all the way back to the beginning where people were adapting Don Quixote into newspaper strip comics.
Oh, okay.
And like other classic books or classic Shakespeare plays, and then from the newspaper strips it goes to pamphlet comics, and then mm-hmm. you get classics adapted in the style that's popular at that time, all through every decade,
through
or whatever
is
popular, like that's what they adapt the classics into. Yeah. So you get to the current era and it's like manga Shakespeare.
Manga Shakespeare.
Manga is what's popular.
Why
now.
Not?
So we're going to do.
I'll tell you, I got just as much out of it as I did reading the book.
Right. Because it's already a business book. It's already like a 14 point font with like double spacing.
Exactly.
I look at business books.
Yeah. If I can read a book in 2 hours,
my dad is like
good.
Weaving and.
So I had something to say about whacked out writers and producers.
Yeah.
Desperately trying to end the story arc.
Yeah.
Can I say that about Doctor Who?
Sure. I haven't watched Waters of Mars yet.
Oh, it was good.
Okay, well,
it's
I downloaded
redeemed
it.
Itself. I like that a lot.
Oh, really?
It completely opposite of the Kidnapping of Earth episode, where every character that's still alive that has been in Doctor Who reappeared.
That was the worst episode.
It was what are they thinking?
K-9 and Friends or K-9 and Company?
Exactly, it was terrible. So
that's what you had to say.
That's what I had to say.
I mean,
in the anime thing that we're watching,
yeah,
this is my question to you. Thinking about the Doctor Who stuff, is any sort of whacked out time travel going to be involved in the whole Ava series? So it's still basically the two giant creatures
fighting. Well, eventually, one of the creatures. I'm like spoilers, but the guy at the end of the movie, they show who I was like, oh, that's Kaworu. One of the angels isn't really a monster. It's just another kid who transfers into their school, and he's another Eva pilot. And they're like, oh, you're the fourth Eva pilot. You don't know the third one yet. But they're like, no problem. You know, here's your Eva unit, and you're the fourth kid and whatever. No, turns out he's another angel who's sent to kill them all. And like, when he makes the heartbreaking part. But, he's only in like one episode of the TV show. He makes friends with Shinji.
Oh,
like,
no.
In this unconditional way. He's like, I just want to be your cool bud and hang out with you and whatever. And Shinji's like, wow, it's so great to have a real friend for once.
And then they have to destroy each other. That is sad.
Yeah.
That is very sad.
It's rough going.
Bad planning on the angel part again.
One angel is just a disease that, like, gets into their veins. It's gross.
What?
Yeah, one angel is just is microscopic.
Oh, okay.
And is, like, killing them.
All right.
It's pretty gross. It's a really good series. I've spent
I liked it. I like guessing at it. I mean, some of it was a little hard to follow, but
yeah,
it's probably because I just didn't know anything about it.
Right. I don't know how much of it is meant for like people who aren't familiar with the franchise to begin with. Like it.
Okay.
Should I don't know.
It's a remake, so it's calling upon people who were 10 or 13 in the 90s to come enjoy that again.
Or 20 and now they're 25 or something.
How did I miss it? I completely watch
because
it
wasn't on American television ever. Like I got really into it after college, but it was really popular like when I was in college, so in America. But people were like handing VHS tapes to each other.
Oh, passing around.
Because it was before you could really watch a lot of video on the internet.
Okay.
But it's one of the big things that has sold on DVD very consistently here.
We had Power Rangers.
What?
Power Rangers. That was our show.
What do you mean we? That was you. You liked Power Rangers. And you were watching
it. I did it for you.
No, not at all. Guys. You're thinking of my brother also because I was way too old for that. Like Matt and I were just like, whatever.
Power
and
Rangers
you're, like, a huge
was
Power
cute.
Rangers fan.
But there again, you know, doing the battle.
Yeah. But that's different because there's not
a very different
to Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Or it could be that the meaning of Evangelion is to sell Doritos.
Oh, that was so funny. I mean, they went out of their way to have we have to go to the store. You know, the earth is going to end. Another angel's coming. We're trying to sort out these
Evas. To mean
Let's go to the store.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious. It was so obvious with the close-ups. And then even in the car, in case you missed it, there's the bag of Doritos.
Well, you can see the Frito-Lay logo as they check them out. And then the Doritos are the only brand you can see in the car. But it's because why remake a movie that's only like 10 years old or a franchise? Because Doritos and a pachinko company approached you and were like, this franchise is still very popular and we need to continue it. Can we continue it? Can we make another
movie? I like continuate though. That's a good
continuate,
word.
Continuate sounds
like should be a word.
Saturday Live word.
Should be a word.
Anyway.
At least Burger King guy didn't jump out because we would have to shut the TV off.
the ground.
Yeah.
So we also saw the new James Cameron movie.
Avatar.
Right. And Noah's not here to talk about it.
Yes.
Actually,
he must never listen to this.
Wait, I don't even know if he does listen to shows he's not in. I guess he does.
I don't know, because he'll be upset because I'm going to say I liked Avatar.
Well, I can relay Noah's opinion.
I liked it for what it is.
For being the exploitation film.
Exploitation film, yes. A commentary on massive taking over resources and with total disregard of other populations and the complete possibility of countless little toys. Everybody's going to want a six-legged horse.
You keep saying toys and you're missing the point, because it's just an ad for a video game. Like, it's called Avatar, and in the first 20 minutes of the game, they show you how to play it. I mean, the movie, they show you
how to play
the game.
Exactly, but the four-year-olds are going to want a physical toy.
I don't think four-year-olds
and lunchboxes.
Like,
oh, they will.
Yeah, I guess.
It wasn't that bad.
Lunchboxes. So, when we left the theater, my dad was like, "Why, that's one of the finest films I've ever seen in my entire life." Like, yeah. Do you want to say?
It was a very good film. It was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Everything you could possibly want in a movie was there.
Right. And he also pointed out there were no car chases. That was good.
No car chases.
He's sick to death of car chases.
Nope.
And he didn't fall asleep, so that's a good sign.
Yes.
But nobody fell asleep.
Yeah, it's all right.
Even though it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes long or whatever.
Oh, yes.
But there was not a dull moment, because it's a very well-made film in that regard. Mm-hmm. But when we left, or as soon as the credits started rolling, Noah was just like, "That is the most irresponsible film to the point of evil that I've ever seen."
Yeah.
And he's like, "And it offends every sensibility that I have."
Yes,
he was
upset.
That was Noah's review.
Because it painted the people of, was it Pandora?
Yeah.
Obvious name. Pandora's box or whatever.
Yeah.
Painted them all the same as the sort of noble alien race.
Well, and I was very upset that there's very little sympathy for humans in current science fiction. It's all about how humans are bad and humans are the worst.
That's right.
Self-flagellate about being human. And whatever. So like in District 9, it's that same kind of like,
we saw District 9.
Yeah, but there are no good human characters in District 9.
Well, the one that becomes the alien.
He became an alien.
Oh, I see what you mean. So this is a theme. We might as well just give it up.
Just give it up. Just become the blue alien.
We're not all that good.
Yeah. So, like, I also thought, like, in Avatar, the character shows no remorse at killing humans. Like, I mean, I know he's a marine or whatever, but, like, he turns so quickly, and it's just like, screw humans. A couple of you are okay. Yeah. The scientists, they can stay behind.
Well, and that pilot, the helicopter pilot that helped him, and the scientist.
Yeah, but did she die? Oh, I guess that's a huge spoiler.
We won't talk about that.
There are almost
no humans.
The
corporate owner, that was an interesting choice in casting.
Yeah, why is that?
I can't remember his name, but he just didn't seem to fit in that sort of role. I mean, he did a good job at it, but it was surprising. Because it would be more of a, who is the guy in Fifth Dimension?
Fifth Element.
Sorry, not Fifth Dimension.
I know what you mean.
Gary Oldman.
Sure.
Gary.
I don't think he's Gary Oldman. Wait, maybe he is. But he's like an old dude. He was in Iron Man.
Yeah, or Kevin Spacey. Mm. I mean, it seems like it'd be one of the really people who've played evil. Christopher Walken. See, I'm not getting any names right.
I can cut that out.
But one of those instead of that guy.
Yeah.
Because he's...
doesn't seem very evil.
No, he doesn't seem very evil. He seems a little bit comical.
He's just after...
But he did a nice job. I'm not saying that. But Avatar is pretty spectacular, and the special effects in particular.
Yeah, they're really great. Like, you're never jarred out of the film because of the special effects.
Right. But I knew he was going to be able to ride that... Oh, spoiler.
Eh?
The orange dragon. I knew he was going to... That was
They set it up in the film. When they talked about it for like 15 minutes, of course he's going to do it.
Yeah, well, first time I saw it, I knew he'd do it.
Right. But, like, what really bothered me about the film is I can't watch it out of the context of video games. And I think Dad could, and you can watch it out of the context of video games.
Yes.
But when I watch a movie like that, it's like... When you watch The Phantom Menace, there's this huge pod racing scene. It's like... You know, LucasArts is a video game company, so there's going to be this huge pod racing thing in the video game.
Yep.
So with Avatar, it's like the same thing. Like, when you see them riding on the freaky horses with, like, four legs in the front, it's like, boy, I can't wait to ride this horse in the game. And, like, when they connect with, like, the flying beast and, like, ride around on them, it's like, can't wait to fly this thing in the game. Like, I don't want to play the game.
And the hammerhead guy that comes running through the forest and the panther.
They just kinda,
I bet they could. She did in the panther, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all video. So you were seeing from that perspective all video.
Yeah, to be like, it would be so cool when I ride this in the game. Not like, you know, if you watch a movie many years ago when it was just like Pong or something,
yeah.
You're not in that mindset that, because this is a huge, huge franchise like kind of movie. I mean, it's not a franchise yet, but because it's a big name movie, it's a big
right.
holiday film and a big action movie. Of course there's going to be a video game because there's always a video game.
So is that part of Noah's wrath and part of kind of what you guys
were...
No,
that's only my wrath. Noah's very upset about the counterinsurgency tactics.
Yeah, the counterinsurgency
and the myth of the noble
statement.
Savage.
Yeah, myth of the noble savage is huge because, in the whole...
Because
Western civilization has done a lot of positive things and we shouldn't beat ourselves up so much.
Well, it's just, it's not... It was very kind of black and white,
yeah.
good and evil kind of story.
Yeah.
They didn't really... They weren't careful to show that... You know, there's good and bad, or like
True.
Noah's big point is like some Native American tribes were cannibals, and sometimes you know those
right.
people beat their wives to death, and like just because they're like savages doesn't mean they're noble. Like,
it's so true.
They're not really showing both sides of the coin here. Like,
but in a very
there's the one
gray world. It's nice to just go relax for 3 hours and see where there's clearly good and clearly bad.
Well, then that's like pulp, isn't it?
That's fine.
It's
I'm good with
story.
That. I'm good with that. I accept
Which
that for
okay.
what it is.
But he's saying it's irresponsible to continue to propagate that myth. What is relevant to like conflicts in the world today and in a really thinly veiled way. Like,
yeah,
but it's kind of like I once did a paper for a feminist class that I took in college about blue people in science fiction. And it's kind of like we can't show you
like
know,
the Smurfs?
Yeah, well, blue people or like the Orion slave girl.
Oh, yeah, with the green. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where there's a green girl who dances in, whatever, in Star Wars and stuff.
Yes, uh-huh.
But it's that idea of, like, this exotic other who is non-white and not mm-hmm. another color.
It was in the pilot episode.
Right.
Captain Pike.
Right. And she's in the new movie as well.
Mm, yes.
But she had more of a progressive role
yeah,
in
exactly.
the new film. Because we've moved beyond just an Orion slave girl. Now she's an Orion slave girl with a college degree.
Uh-huh.
She's not really a slave. But, like... It's, you know, portraying these non-white characters. They're not
right.
not brown people either. They're blue
that's
to try and get away from. But they were like, they had Jamaican accents.
True.
They were wearing Native American gear.
Well, and in Star
it's
Wars.
It's so thinly veiled. Well, yeah, Jar Jar Binks is the worst example.
Yeah.
Because he's
oh
talking like this horrible pigeon language.
Yes.
It is not helped by the fact that the CG was not believable in Star Wars.
Yeah, it was.
So
yeah,
in the
film, it was pretty bad.
Somehow, Avatar is similar to The Phantom Menace, but isn't a crappy movie. Like...
Oh,
it has a lot of the same
problems. Right.
It's an ad for a video game with horrible racist characters, but it's told in a decent way, so it's enjoyable.
Right.
But it might still be straight up offensive.
Well, it's told in the sort of hero quest, sort of, or hero transformation tradition. And it's good. We need those stories. We need those stories to hold us together. But what we have to do in the conversations we have about it is to separate our culture and our society from the very clear black and white legendary sort of things.
Like there are some bad things. But...
Exactly. In the history of the Wild West, so to speak.
Right.
Our image of the West was formed by writers and artists.
Yeah.
Just a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they formed what the rest of America at the time that's east of the Mississippi thought the West was. Mm. And it became a reality.
Yeah.
And the same way with the 10-cent novels of... Hey, it's great that we're poor because we will get through and we will pull ourselves up.
What novels are these?
Oh, the novels on the rags to riches type novels
okay.
sorts of things. Or the whole thing of, hey, we don't have any money, but we're happy sort of thing. I mean,
money doesn't buy happiness.
Money doesn't buy happiness. So those sorts of...
Try me.
My dad wants to find this out for sure.
Yeah, he said try.
He wants to find out more money, more problems.
That's right. But those kinds of stories that we tell ourselves helps us through different times. When you look at how different races have come into the media, they start as a background character, almost a comical character, a caricature of what they are.
Right.
And then they go through like a superhero, noble savage thing, superhero, before they become multidimensional.
Right.
So they can be, there can be good and bad and different layers to that character.
Mm.
Same with cultures. And I read something with science fiction that science fiction reflects how we think of ourselves at the time. So when you think of War of the Worlds in the 50s, science fiction stuff that was all, we're being attacked.
Right.
by the outside forces that will invade us and change our way of life. That was during the communist scares of the 50s.
Yeah, and there's a lot of science fiction about like body snatchers and stuff.
Yeah, body snatchers. And then it went into the aliens are better and they will come and help us. And we get close encounters and sort of the romantic view of aliens.
Yeah.
And now we've become...
What was that reflecting in the culture of the time?
Oh, because...
Vietnam era science fiction. What the hell?
Because we can be helped by other forces. We're growing in what we are. We don't know everything, so we have to reach out. We'll get help from smarter, greater, more benevolent outside forces.
Okay.
And now we've become the awful aliens. So is that how we view ourselves as a culture?
Yeah, it's a self-flagellation. It's like white guilt. You're going to destroy my entire apartment. What are you doing?
Oh, your dad's ready to go.
Yeah, he's putting on his
clothes. So I guess we're leaving.
So I'm going to have to cut this shit.
It's been a great chat. But now the coat's been produced. He's got his coat on.
Really
it will
bored.
Be interesting to know if good. He can Thanks. Find his way back to Matt's, though.
So. You wanted a car.
Yeah, I've we're going to get a cab. Number. Yep.
All right.
So anyways, I liked it, though. I liked Avatar despite all
That's
of that. Because it was just lovely. I mean, it was a lovely story. And
I think I was also very upset with the utter lack of battle strategy, that the way the natives at the end try and win is overwhelming numbers. And it turns out that's not
that
how
never
you
works. Yeah, no.
Like,
no.
Not at all.
Right.
There's also, I want to make not my really. Joke that I've been making about How the Grinch Stole Christmas, where all of the little guys, they sing without presents around the tree and they sing their little song. And there's at least two scenes like that in Avatar.
It is. And you know, if you hope hard enough.
Yeah.
Something will work out.
If you believe in fairies, Tinkerbell's going to come back to life.
It will. We have to clap harder.
All right. Merry Christmas,
everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.